Morning. Okay, I hope I'm audible.
Morning, Chair.
Morning, morning. Adira, may I just check if we have the numbers to continue given the apologies received?
Chairperson, I've received three apologies, Ms. Majozi, Mr. Pambu, Mr. Gumbu. I see yourself and Ms. Kubeka on. I'm still waiting on Ms. Farko. Maybe I've missed it, so I'm just still checking. Sorry. Ms. Farko is there, so I'm just looking for one more member chair. Then we...
Can I then ask that we give you up until 5 past to start?
That's fine, Chair. Thank you.
Thank you.
Morning, Chairperson. We have a quorum. We can proceed. Thank you.
Am I audible now?
Oh, we can hear you, Chairperson.
Thanks, Ajira. Good morning, Honorable Member.
Recording in progress.
Good morning to the Deputy Minister, Swaya. Morning to the department delegation, as well as the MDTA delegation in the form of the chair of the board, as well as the CEO of the board, as I would have seen on the platform, fellow South Africans. Today we are meeting to, of course, consider the quarterly report, which has got a trend for the four of both GCIS as well as the presentation from NDA. Honorable members, before one makes a short opening remarks, I just want us to deal quickly with the formalities of the rules for engagement in these meetings as informed by rules adopted for virtual meetings by the House. Just to remind each other, I'm told I see it in the chat that it would appear that I can't be here. The Honorable Mbele is indicating that. May I just get 1 minute to move around? Am I audible now?
Yes, we can hear you.
Yes, sir. That's much better, Chairperson. Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I think the other problem is that we are also traveling for preparation for tomorrow. But I was just saying, Honorable Members, if we can just dispense with the formalities, that we remind each that we are conducting this meeting on a virtual platform, and therefore we have to maximize the platform. For us to do this, if we can also cooperate in ensuring that whenever you are not the speaker on the platform, that your video remains switched off as well as your mic muted. You'll only unmute your mic and switching on your video when you are identified by the chair. And once you are recognized to speak, then you'll continue to do so with your mic unmuted, as well as your video camera switched on. While you are experiencing connectivity challenges, you will indicate that so that we proceed on the basis that you are experiencing problems and you want to maximize your bandwidth. This would also apply to those that may lose connectivity in the meeting and want to reconnect, that every time you reconnect, ensure that you join with your mic muted and your video camera switched off to avoid distracting the speaker that may be on the platform, given the sensitivity of the mics, as background sounds may distract people in the meeting. The point of orders, the same would apply, that you will have to be recognized by the chair before you can unmute your mic, even if it's a point of order. And of course, to raise your hand, members and participants, you would use the platform that's created for the raising of the hand. And where there are problems, you'll also use the chat platform to indicate that you want to be recognized and you are unable to raise your hand on the gadget. This will then help us to have a very smooth meeting going forward. Having dispensed with those formalities, let me then take the opportunity of welcoming all members, in particular, welcome the Deputy Minister. And I know that we're expecting to also see a new minister. Algira will deal with that when we deal with apologies, as well as the new deputy minister. Algira will deal with that, which is Minister Honorable Kungubele, as well as Deputy Minister Kekana, who may not be new to the committee given the previous responsibility, but new in the sense of the new responsibility now where she is deployed. But I've been assured that Deputy Minister Honorable Sweya would be leading the delegation politically. With that, Deputy Minister, you are welcomed, and we also welcome in absentia the Minister and Deputy Minister. And we're looking forward to hear from him as the committee in future. Will still afford him the opportunity of making his first address to the committee, and that we can understand where he would want to take us from where the late Honorable Mtembu, former minister, and yourself, as you were navigating in taking the work of the department to where it is today. With that, honorable members, I'm not going to take long, but for purposes of formality again, that the deputy minister in particular has been coming to this committee, leading the delegation that is before us. And you'll be aware that this committee is one of those, in the course of losing members of parliament to the pandemic, would have also lost Honorable Mackenzie during the time of the recess. And this committee is, of course, poorer in his absence. And this is informed by the fact that this committee, across political lines, has always put the interests of South Africans at the forefront. And this is how we have looked at Honorable Mackenzie throughout, more as a team player in this committee who has made valuable contributions. I mean, even when you were to appear before the committee, you would know he would make his comments known and give credit to the work that this department has been doing. And we still expect that in honor of those, including other members of parliament, like Joyce Maluleke, the late, like the late woman from the IFP, young, energetic MP, and all other MPs who committed to the country that they will serve the people, that the way to remember them as we do these performance assessments is for us to deliver. And in that way, you would have not betrayed what you said we stand for. And with that, this meeting is officially opened. And of course, our approach, as you would know, Deputy Minister and members, would allow the political head to just do a political overview, which would also help bring the committee to speed on any matter of interest currently, so that we are taken into confidence, as well as introduce those that would be presenting to the meeting on behalf of the department or the entities. Thereafter, we will then take those presentations, and I want to suggest, this being the only item an understanding that the members would have also apologized for traveling and so on, as will be captured in the apologies. And there are also those that would still be traveling today that would not give the department and the entities long time to present, given that members received the presentations well on time and have been able to go through them. That instead would, after the deputy minister will then start counting, that you get 15 minutes for the department and the 10 minutes for the entity. In that score, that's 25 outside of the opening remarks of the deputy minister. Thereafter, we'll then take questions that honorable members would want to ask and make comments and recommendations on how we need to move forward. So we'll do it in that way. But just to conclude the formalities, I'll then ask Hajira for purposes of record to put who has apologized for not attending the meeting today. Hajira.
Morning, Chairperson. We have an apology for the minister who's attending cabinet and also the DG accompanying the minister. We have an apology for the deputy minister, Kakana, who is not attending due to medical reasons. In terms of our members, we have an apology for Mr. Majozi, Mr. Pambu, and Mr. Gumbu. Thank you, Chair.
Honourable members, those apologies received with different reasons given, and I take it that we approve of them and take note that the meeting is still able to proceed given the quorum we have. With that, I will then respectfully ask the Deputy Minister to address the meeting and then introduce the presentation. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson, Mr. Boisi Maneli. Let me greet yourself, greet members of the Portfolio Committee. Also to greet the team from GCIS, which is going to be led by Mr. Karim, and also MDGA, the Chairperson of the Board, Ms. Matiula, is also here. I also see that the CEO is here and colleagues across the board, and also my team, I see they are here with the Chief of Staff. Indeed, we're really happy. Actually, I think I have missed coming to the committee, and when you're making your opening that we are always here, it's indeed true, and we're always excited to come and report to the committee. like they indicated, the apology of the minister, he's in cabinet, he really would have loved to be with us, especially because this would have been his first appointment with us ever since he was appointed, but he had to go to the portfolio committee. He had to go to cabinet. And Minister Kekana as well, GM Kekana. Fortunately, she's joining us from another CAP, but we have been together in the committee, and hopefully they will be able to make it in the next round where we come and interact with the committee. Chair and colleagues, now GCIS will present. I don't want to go much into the details, but we are going to give you the fourth and third quarter report of 2020-2021 performance. GCIS will also do the same. They will take us through. What I'm going to request is that let's allow GCIS, Mr. Karim, to lead and have the conversation. I'm also going to request that before maybe the CEO is going to present in GCIS, In MDDA, we also give an opportunity to the chairperson of the board to just also give us a high-level briefing, and then we then interact, and then we take it from there. Thank you. I think you need to unmute. Mr. Karim, we can't hear you.
Sorry. Oh, my gosh. Yes. Sorry. Thank you, Deputy Minister. Honorable Chairperson, good morning. As my colleague, Ms. Peter Lowe, our presentation, I want to greet yourself, Honorable Chair, the Honorable Deputy Minister, Sawaya, and in absentia, our Minister and the DM, and also to say, Mrs. Pumla, Honorable Chair would have loved to be here, but it is Cabinet, and as you know, her duties extend to the post-Cabinet work for the briefing. Honorable Chair, I think it would be amiss of me if I didn't, on behalf of the management and team at GCIS, extend our great shock and sincere loss to you and your team for the Mr. McKenzie, the Honorable McKenzie, who had been such a strong influence also, as you've said, on our work. So thank you, Mr. Maneli, for that, and we're deeply, deeply sorry to hear the loss of the Portfolio Committee. If I may also, Honorable Maneli, just before I switch off my screen, because I wanted you to see that I'm not a robot, but I'm a person, but this bandwidth of ours is unreliable, offer an apology for my counterpart, the Acting Deputy Director General for Content and Processing Branch. At the moment, it's Ms. Zanele Mgadi, who has taken ill this morning, so Zai is not able to join us, Honorable Chair. Honorable Chair, I'm not going to spend much time because I can see that on the broader context because I can see that we have haven't got much time today, but we just wanted to share with the committee that it was a very fruitful two quarters, a semester we're looking at, Honorable Maneli and the members of the committee. I hope the slide that says yes. First and foremost, we're coming out of a semester, Honorable Chair, where there was a sense of confidence that we're going in the right direction in terms of fighting the pandemic as government, and that there was anticipation of the vaccination rollout in those third and fourth quarters, but obviously the biggest issue was public concern about employment. And we have very strong focus, and I'll touch on that in a few slides in a minute, on the program that we shared with the Honorable Portfolio Committee in our previous iteration. And I'll touch on that on the few slides later. So we sustained our content focus, and with the Economic Reconstruction and Recovery Program coming on stream in October, it took a lot of activity in terms of focusing on economic recovery for communication. Obviously, honorable members, you'll recall, and I personally also ended up in a very lengthy hospital period. The second wave caught many of us. And we did anticipate that due to the studying of the epidemiology and the preparation for communication for a second wave that hit us over November, December, January, were advanced, and I'll show members about that. And very critically, as Nomkosi goes to the next slide, you will recall in our previous iteration, we mentioned to the committee that the African Union role of our president was big. And in the end of this quarter and this semester, we were focusing on wrapping that up with two things: very strong focus on the opportunities coming out of the African continental free trade area, Honorable Chair, as well as the major opportunities coming out of the President's championship role for COVID vaccination and the COVAX, other vaccine resistance to international nationalism that we faced in procuring vaccines, and our President's taken a big role in that. Obviously, as I'll show in a minute, a lot of our work continues to be based on a very well-researched communication environment that dictates the platforms and the messages that we need to dictate. Our book newspaper, Honorable Maneli, in this period, and members, focused a lot on economic recovery, on profiling that we had announced in earlier parts of last year, a package of recovery. We did attend to that and a lot of the work we did in terms of showcasing some of the small enterprises that had benefited with those relief measures to survive the onslaught of the pandemic. We were quite pleased, Honorable Chair, in this semester that our government ZA page has grown in the third quarter with 169% of increase in the number of views, moderate increase of 62% in the fourth quarter. But what does it tell us? It tells us that our ongoing migration to the digital media platform is legitimate because we are getting a lot more views in those platforms. Obviously, along with the platforms such as the webinars, such as our very strong focus on community radio, African language radio stations, outdoor media such as billboards and wall murals and townships. And then what's missing here, Honorable Chair, just to reiterate, is our direct attention to issues of loud hailing in communities, door-to-door campaigning, etc. Our partnerships in four critical areas. In fact, these sub-bullets, Honorable Chair, should be under the top one of partnerships. We have really continued to manage the system of government communications through our daily rapid response meeting and the Comms Command with all the different ministries and departments in it, and I'll touch on that in a minute. We have a very strong partnership that has flourished since I reported this to the committee last time with the National Communication Partnership, business, the labor formations, the entire spectrum of what's called the community sector at NEDLAC, in other words, civil society. We meet consistently still on the Tuesday morning. And I must say, Honorable Chair, one of the things the committee might be keen to know is that that has yielded massive results. So if you go into a Checkers or a ShopRite or whatever, and you notice the toolkit that the honorable members may have seen earlier last year on billboards of those supermarkets, it's because of that partnership. If anyone is associated with the trade union movement and you've seen the messages coming out to the massive networks of organized labor in our country and the trade union movement, it's emanating from the brilliant fraternal relationship we've developed with the organized trade union movement through our partnership. Obviously, we don't only stand as apex or macro bodies. Our provincial offices are working very closely with district and community health machinery still to provide CDWs, coalface workers, whether they're health extension workers, these kind of things, of blitzes going out into communities to raise awareness about this. And finally, we cannot say, as Nomkosi moves to the next slide, we cannot forget our role with the media. I must say we've had a very good semester in terms of the build-up of our partnership. We have institutionalized this thing called the Press Club Partnership. I'm sure honorable members may have seen some of the webinars. In fact, there's even one today that I'd like to draw attention to, where the Press Club is hosting us around the issue of vaccine hesitancy, some of the misgivings people have. Now, in this past semester, we really refined that instrument, and it's had huge appeal, and the media has been a major partnership. Governance-wise, I'm not going to spoil the thunder for my colleague, because I didn't say, Honorable Chair, I'm here with Ms. Sotri, my counterpart, the acting DDG of Branch 1, Corporate Services, as well as Dolores Mokate from the DG's office, and Henny Becker from the CFO's office. But they'll share with you a good track record on the governance side. We have had a good 98% success rate in our 30-day payments. Employment vacancies threshold has remained behind below 10%. By December, we had been on 77, and we caught that fully up to a percentage that probably some might reflect on later by the end of the year. The 60 million that the committee is probably aware of that we shared last time, we had been able to spend most of that on the campaign at the end of the year. And out of the targets for the third quarter, we only missed one, which Nomkosi will touch on in a moment. And in the fourth quarter, eight targets we missed. And some of those variances will be unpacked by Ms. Peter. So if you can just move on, please. So just for the committee, let's move on, Nomkosi. So this was our safer festive season. We realized, now just go back, Ms. Ngosi, to the safer festive season, and you'll see, honorable members, that we really knew that November, December, January was going to give a peak. The science and our epidemiological assessments, or the guidance we have from those fancy scientists that we work with, taught us that there's going to be this peak, and we looked into that well and prepared messaging that spoke to that. Secondly, let's have a look. We have had a very good semester, Honorable Maneli, in terms of economic reconstruction and recovery program. We are really putting a lot of emphasis on small enterprises. We've profiled, for example, this forestry master plan at the Limpuma Furniture Making Factory, which is part of the ERRP. And under the forestry master plan, we did a small video with them, the traditional leadership house that's fully involved in that project. Spoke to it. Horshi there is a very young Horshi. He was an ambassador for this kind of partnership between government, royal houses, and the community. And they've got a lot of traction. Honorable members, I must tell you, we had a series looking at entry into the poultry master plan. And I must just say, honorable members, one of our webinars in the three webinar series attracted 1,000 participants. So the appetite, particularly for young people entering the poultry industry, is very, very great. You'll see there under the economic zone, we're working very closely with Dr. Ramaphosa in the presidency around profiling this whole infrastructure rollout and this whole issue of infrastructure as a catalyst to social recovery or economic recovery. And let's move on. Obviously, our third and very critical theme, we continue sustaining with the fight against gender-based violence and femicide in this semester. We had a number of APEX projects, Honorable Chair. In other words, at the national level, we had some webinars, including webinars with the African Union partners that we made. Mrs. Pumla had the opportunity to place some op-eds through the network we have continent-wide. And you can see at the local level, on the left-hand side, we're working in partnership with GIZ, the German Development Agency, which has a partnership with us around gender-sensitive media reporting. And we're working with them on training journalists to write with gender sensitivity. And as you can see, many of the GISAS and their partners and community radio stations, as you see here, were working on those kind of themes. 16 days, we had some highlights, there was a dialogue with the president, et cetera. I do want to tarry on the next slide a moment, Honorable Chair. We're very proud of this one. As I mentioned, the African Continental Free Trade Area was brought into being at the end of the year, early in the new year. The president's term obviously took a turn for the different because he hadn't anticipated that COVID was going to take over the full extent of the work of our chairship here. However, at the end of the year, GISAS produced this video, about a 2.5-3 minute video, 10 reasons to invest in Africa, and translated into a number of languages, French and Swahili, 87,000 full reads on YouTube, and extensively used across the continent and in the international community. GISAS, in-house production, done by ourselves, done by our own team. And then lastly, I just want to reflect here quickly on this slide again, Nomkosi. We worked very closely with the Arrive Alive campaign of the Department of Transport. Yes, we had that macro overarching campaign that I showed you at the beginning, honorable members, to prepare for a safer holiday. But at the same time, we did it with the Department of Transport. Now, quickly before we run out of time, let's just briefly touch on the research insights. Nomkosi, if you can just take me to the third quarter, it's more instructive. Obviously, honorable members, our research has shown us that 86% of the countries heard the message of COVID. We know where they're hearing it, so we know where to target the platforms, the channels that are used. And there we saw 59%, 6 out of 10 South Africans felt confident toward the end of the year in the president's leadership of the pandemic, okay? Which really helps us inform our work. So, for example, if you look at the trust placed in health experts, as well as despite some of the views that we hear in the public domain, there's a high confidence in government specialization in terms of content. Therefore, 70% of the people trust what they hear from governments around the pandemic. So let's move on to the next slide. And in this second, fourth quarter, honorable members, we looked into some of the work that needs to be done to give us a better sense about some of the emerging hesitancy that we saw. And some of that hesitancy relates to, for example, around confidence in local governments, confidence that we're creating jobs, confidence that we're fighting crime, confidence that we're fighting corruption. So we've warned that the message is about protecting yourself and others, which is the message we've adopted into the beginning of this new year, and also building trust that the side effects are not great of the medication, of the vaccination. And now those overall findings, we've shared also with the Interministerial Committee that's preparing for the local government elections, to say to them, look, as we go out and prepare the nation's mindset for elections, there are things that South Africans are feeling very uncomfortable about that can lead to a sense that, you know what use is it to be an active citizen? And our messaging is really around this. You know, you see, protecting yourself is a message about active citizenship. Trusting and being confident that we can make a better tomorrow is the message of active citizenship. So, honorable members, that's the broad look at the semester that we present in quarter three and four. And I'd like to hand over to Nomkosi, who's going to take us through the deviations that we encountered, although quickly to look at the statistics of achievement and then the deviations and what the cause of those is very briefly. And then Sis probably is going to just deal with the money side of things. Over to you, Sis Nongosi.
Honourable members, thank you for the introduction, Michael. Has the slides moved on your side? In the third quarter, the GCIS had a total of 44 targets that were due, of which 43 were achieved, which translates into an overall performance rate of 98%. In the fourth quarter, the targets that were due were 39, of which 31 were achieved, translating to a variance of 21%. I will then focus on only those targets that were not achieved in the two quarters. Only one target was not achieved in quarter three, and that relates specifically to the rate at which we were able to pay invoices within the prescribed 30 days. The target was underachieved by 0.3%. In the fourth quarter, a total of 8 targets were not achieved, and in this case, it was, again, the payment of invoices within 30 days. The primary reason for non-achievement related to the fact that we had a high rate of COVID infections in the supply chain unit at that time as a result of the third wave, which resulted in not just the building closure, but also a lot of people who actually worked in supply chain not being well enough to come into the office. We did, however, implement a recovery program that sought to do away with the rotational system as well as the 50% occupancy for supply chain system officials and all officials who work using the transversal systems, which are not accessible from home. The second target that was missed was the number of copies of Vuk'uzenzele that were produced. The reason for the underachievement is the fact that we did a double run in the third quarter. So if we were to present the statistics for the third quarter, members would see that this particular target was overachieved in the third quarter to accommodate the closure in the December period of the printers and distribution companies. And we've also subsequently run an additional 2 additions for February and 2 additions for March, which then evened out performance over the financial year. The third indicator speaks to the number of online editions of Vuk'uzenzele, and this one was again underachieved in the fourth quarter because it was overachieved in the third quarter for the reasons similar to the ones provided for the distribution of the magazine in the December period. Fourthly would be the number of editions of the PSM magazines which are published annually. The target was missed by one. We were unable to publish the PSM magazine for the month of March. Next are the updates on our social media accounts. There were a few days that were missed, again, owing to the closure and the rate of infections among employees. But the focus here is on both the social media accounts under the GCIS, but as well as the ones that are managed by the GCIS, being the .gov related social media accounts. The indicator on photographic services as well as the video services provided for year were directly impacted by the adjusted lockdown level, level 3 and 4, as well as the January holidays, because both these indicators are informed by the number of requests that are submitted to GCIS to profile events that are covered by the president, the deputy president, as well as members of the cabinet. Finally, honourable members, the launch of the Media Advertising and Communications Council did not take place, despite the fact that the process of the nominations and the shortlisting was concluded. The decision was taken to stall the launch to ensure that the list of nominated candidates is fully representative of the gender and geographic dynamics of the sector, and it will be attended to in the current financial year. Thank you.
Sis Trobe.
Thank you, Mr. Karin. Good morning, Chairperson and honorable members. I will be taking you through on the governance issues. Overall, for the third quarter, we had 473 filled posts. We had 473 approved posts and only 432 were filled. And in terms of the vacancy rate, we are still below 10%. We are sitting at 8.6% for the third quarter. And for the fourth quarter, we had 434 posts filled and we are sitting at 8.4% in terms of the vacancy rate. Then in terms of the budget, allocated 725.1 million. And for the third quarter, we had spent 77% of the allocation, which means we were above the linear target by 2%. At the end of the third quarter, we spent around 559.3 million. And of this 559, we also had spent in terms of the COVID-19 allocation, which is also forming part of the allocation under Program 2. Then for the fourth quarter, we had spent around 98% of the allocation, which means that we underspent our budget by 2%. And at the end of the fourth quarter, we spent around 712.1 million. And in terms of the COVID-19 allocation, GCIS, we allocated 60 million for the COVID-19 communication campaign. For the first quarter, we spent 11.87. Second quarter, we spent 26.8. And on the third quarter, we spent 10 million. And on the fourth, we spent around 6.5 million. At the end of the year, we had spent around 58 million of the allocation. And we had applied to the National Treasury for the rollover of the remaining amount as we had already committed for the remainder of the allocation for the communication campaign, and we are still awaiting Treasury's approval on that rollover application. Then in terms of ensuring that our buildings as well as our staff members and clients are safe in terms of the COVID-19, we spend around 1.7 million in terms of the PPE as well as the disinfection and the deep cleaning of the buildings. For PPEs, which is the mask and gloves, we spend around 267,000. And for sanitizers, we spend around 141,000. And for the panel screens, these ones were mainly for the officials that were identified to be at risk of contracting the virus, and also including those ones with vulnerable as well as those ones with comorbidities. We spend around 1 million on the panel screens, and disinfecting the offices, we spend around 121,000. And as we know that GCIS, we are also using our rooms for the briefing sessions, and also we have our auditorium that we also use for bigger meetings, and also some of the clients are also using our auditorium. So we had to make sure that the buildings are disinfected and deep cleaned very often. We also have the digital thermometers that we are using to make sure that the people who are entering the building are also assessed and screened for the temperatures. Thank you so much. And also this expenditure is inclusive of the provinces as well. Thank you.
Thank you, Honourable Chairperson and Deputy Minister Sawyer. That is it from GCIS for quarter 3 and 4 of the previous financial year. And thank you to the colleagues from GCIS. Mr. Chair, thank you.
Thank you. Can we get them today?
Please unmute. I think I am unmuted, Honorable Siweya. Good morning, Honorable Members, Honorable Chairperson, and colleagues.
Good morning. Maybe let's allow the chair to make a political statement, and then you can take over.
All right. No, it's fine, Chair. I was just going to ask Honourable Minister that I am allowed to be a host, so that while the chairperson is doing that, I prepare to then share the presentation. At the moment, I can't.
Okay.
Okay,
Ms. Tengo, yes, while they're attending to you sharing, can we allow the board chair to speak? Thanks. Chair, please unmute. Board chair, please unmute. We can't hear you. We can't hear you.
The board chair is muted. You must unmute.
You must unmute. I agree with you, Chair. We apologize.
Chairperson, I think we are sorry to ask. I think maybe the problem is not with the mute or unmute, because he is unmute on the system. Maybe he should fix the volume on the gadget that he's using. Thank you, Chair.
Tell them. Honourable members, the chairperson is trying to unmute himself, and there's a problem technically that is making him unable to mute himself. If we can attend to that, please. Hajira, if you could unmute the chairperson of the MDDA board, please.
I'll do that. Thank you.
Thank you.
Chairperson, I think the problem is really with his gadget, because he's unmuted on the system. And as you can see on the screen, he's also unmuted, but we are unable to hear Mr. Matebula. We can see you from the system. You appear to be unmuted. So if you could just check the volume of the gadget that you are using. On our side, it all seems to be well.
Chair, so he's allowed me to go ahead while he's trying to get himself fixed. He will speak, I think, maybe after I've done with the presentation. It's going to be a very short one, honorable members. I think first I must greet the honorable Deputy Minister Siweya, Deputy Minister in the Presidency, Honourable Maneli, the Chairperson, all the Honourable Members. And again, I think as the MDDA, we also would like to say deepest condolences to the DA on losing Honourable Mackenzie. In fact, on the committee on losing Honourable Mackenzie, I think he was one of his own. He actually was very robust, and he would not leave any stone unattended. Asking us questions, and I remember him to be very robust in the committee, and I was sincere. Deepest condolences to the committee for losing him. I'm just trying to move the mic. It's always difficult to speak after the Honourable Michael Karim, because he is just so flamboyant, so articulate, so knowledgeable. And that's my brother there. So thank you very much, Mr. Michael Karim, for setting the bar so high. Honorable members, we also presenting the two presentations here, the two quarters of 2020-2021. With this first two slides, we're just trying to demonstrate that we have tried as much as it was possible under the pandemic to fill the so many vacancies that the committee was aware, especially for dating back from 2018-2017. So we have filled most of those vacancies. You can see the vacancy rate between quarter two and quarter three, it was left at 7.3. We must also state that we have unfortunately lost an HR member who was just 6 months in the job to COVID as well. And at the time, we were only left with one position. This is our employment equity status. And I think as we look at the vacancies that we currently have now, which is just two vacancies, we're going to have to try and make up for the minuses and where the employment equity status is low. That's what we're going to try and do. And this is the position that we're talking about. In fact, the HR manager is not here because we lost him only in June, July. And the risk specialist position is being remodeled because we have struggled to attract a person with the kind of salary that we have at the MDTA for this position, because it's a small organization. So we're trying to remodel this position so that it can be filled, and the audit committee is actually very, very anxious about it. The two other positions that are here actually have already been filled. Research, I think she joined us as the executive there in June. Her name is Zukiswa Olomba, and so we've got two Zukis there, and we also have got a new communications manager who also is going to be helping us with outreach and stakeholder engagement. In terms of our achievement overall, in quarter three we achieved 85%, which is the 11 targets out of the 13 targets that we were supposed to have achieved. And you will see on the column there that the targets that we did not achieve are actually under program two. Program two is the main business, core business of the MDTA, because that's where grant and seed funding is happening. And then program three, partnerships, public awarenesses and advocacy. And I will explain those delays later. But what is important, Chairperson, with especially grant and seed funding, is that the board and its committees, and including us management, have become so robust in ensuring that we fund fully compliant projects. And that's what happens. So a lot of applications may have been received, but when we go through the funnel, and because we must balance the spread, we must make sure that all the documentation is submitted and that there's a geographical spread and all those things. And so we tended in line with the new policy, grant funding policy that we put in place in 2019, we intend to only fund compliant projects, because this money is not the money that we have. We get it from funders and from government, and therefore we must fully account for its use. The one on public and partnerships and awareness and advocacy, naturally, it involves people going physically to spaces and talking to people sometimes, and therefore due to the restrictions of the pandemic, it's not always easy to carry out some of our targets. However, I think we have done very well under the trying circumstances of the pandemic to try and quickly learn how to digitalize some of these targets. If we want to again continue on quarter three and just highlight some of the key achievements for that quarter. During that quarter three, where we tabled the APP and for the first time we tabled in June because of the hard lockdown, in for the 2019-20 financial year, we were then awarded a clean audit, and I think the committee especially will be aware that the MDTA had a history of clean audits, but the clean audit, we lost it for at least another 5 years because of the high instability in the organization, especially at an executive level, where we found just the changing of the CEOs. I mean, I think there was a board that was hardly correlating. So we achieved a total of 84%, and we achieved a clean audit for that financial year. But quite importantly, in 2020, as we grappled with the pandemic and we retreated to work from home, Export then decided that it must go to the board and ask for some money for emergency relief, because we wanted the sector to not only survive the pandemic, but that we wanted the sector to be at the center of distributing and disseminating content and news about how people could save their lives against the pandemic. So that 20 million emergency, we started dispersing it, I think, around April, May 2020, up until October, where we actually then dispersed a total of 16 million. And again, we went through a very rigorous process where we had criteria, who qualifies, who doesn't qualify, and what this money is for. We came to the portfolio committee last year and we explained that money, that it was for content generation, for PPEs, for telecommunications, for printing and distribution, if you were print. And we did it in two phases. And you can see the number of people that actually ended up benefiting, or the beneficiaries that we were able to disperse to. Grant funding, as you know, honorable members, that now we have a one call in a year, grant call applications. And again, we take pride in ensuring that it goes through a very vigorous assessment process, adjudication by the board, approval by the board, and we're able to do that. And the other thing that is important that we did, given the pandemic, was we also issued a call for not only Stantec relief, but signal distribution relief. And we were able to disperse about 18.8 million to Stantec around June last year. And I think Mzu will cry. Mzu Kashe, who is here as an executive, will cry if I don't say that we also, for the first time, introduced an online application, just so that there's less human interference. But we are aware of the data costs that are involved with that. And that is the reason why we've met with organizations like Vodacom, MTN, and so forth. And we're still going to do that through the funding strategy that we're saying we have developed. Quite importantly, as I close, honorable members, in quarter three, on the last quarter, we're unable to meet one target, and it's a target that's very close to my heart. In August last year, we had a consultative conference with the sector, with academia. We invited UNESCO. We invited people from Zimbabwe, and we had government. We had government entities, and that conference was meant for us to all come together and develop and agree on terms of reference for a research that should emanate on a sustainability research. Now, this is something that is new to us, honorable members. It's uncharted waters, but we are saying in order for this sector to self-sustain, there must be something that we do. MGTA is turning 20 years in January 2023, and we are hoping that at that time we're able to unveil the sustainability model, and we're learning and taking so many insights and learning from UNESCO. So that's what we are doing. And part of our work is just to continue with capacity building. And we've done this, and I'm not going to belabor the point. What I think the honorable members may be interested in is the fact, is what are we going to do now that there's going to be local government elections? Yes, we are going to have an elections training initiative like we always do before the elections. That will take place, and that is including other training initiatives that we must do. We've met with Facebook South Africa, we've got a contract, an MOA with MICCITA, with NEMISA, we've got so many other partnerships that we have entered into. But what is important is that we actually consolidate these under this fundraising strategy so that they're actually able to support the sustainability that we are talking about. So I'm also, again, I'm not going to get to this slide because I think I've already spoken with it. As part of our accountability, because this is not just a stakeholder engagement on the slide, part of our accountability to funders for the money that we got. Honorable members, you would know that we get about 33% from government, we get about 64% from the commercial broadcasters, which makes them our biggest funders. It's very critical, therefore, for us to tell them how much we've used and how we've used each cent to them. So how we account to them? Midterm, we give them a letter fully accounting about the processes that we've embarked on that they would be, we would be using their money on. And then at the end of the financial year, once the annual report is out, we then call them to something that is called funders breakfast, where we then give them a full account of the full, of the full year. In January this year, they said to us in February, we are happy, MDDA, with your level of accountability. As a result, in as much as we signed 3 years ago a 40 million budget contribution with you, we will increase the money. I'm happy, honorable members, to announce that a few weeks ago, last month, we got a confirmation that the fund has now moved to 52 million. And this is from 35 million in 2018. And so it just shows when you've got a lot of accountability and you talk to your stakeholders that these good things can happen. I think I've already mentioned that some of the targets we struggled with because of the pandemic was the actual visits, monitoring visits. So you, where you can see we achieved 29 instead of 30, but we have been able to actually catch up on these targets. This next one, for instance, it was a digital migration strategy, which just needed to be submitted to a board for approval. Even though it was concluded in that quarter, we then missed the part for it to go to the board. And I'm happy to say that that digital strategy now has got a plan that has been approved by the board. And that is the reason why we've then gone back to organizations like Facebook South Africa, and they're working with us and other companies to say, how do we also get our sector ready for the fourth industrial revolution? These are just the programs that we implement with. I don't think I'm going to belabor the point, clean audit, and the, all the things that I think I have mentioned. I'm very close to the sustainability model, very close. In the sense that in 2018, in July, we, led by former Minister Nomvula Mponyane and Deputy Minister Pinky Ketana, actually led that day, we then said this is a community media. That community media gave birth to a very big report which talked to the challenges of the sector. And then we said, how do we find long-lasting solutions to the sector? When Minister Mtembu came on board, he also was confronted by the challenges of the sector. We then said as the MDDA, instead of implementing things in piecemeal, let's look at what is a sustainability model that would be tailored and suited for this sector, and what are the pillars that we think are suited for the South African model. And so we're saying our sustainability sits on 6 pillars, and we're hoping that the research will either confirm or not confirm that. But these are the pillars. And our strategic trust is us wanting to build a resilient and a future-forward community media sector. I think with all those words, I'm not going to belabor the point, really, honorable members, because we're presenting 85 and 92%. In fact, when we come back to you at the end of September or November, we present the annual report, we will come to you with about 94% on the 2021 financial year, and we will come with another clean audit. You said to us last year when we presented the first clean audit, Zukiswa, it's easy to get the one, but it's difficult to maintain it. We have maintained it, honorable members. I think the one important issue that I think the chairperson will speak to is just beating us up on the board whilst the executive will look at completing and filling in all the vacant positions. I think with that, I thank you very much. Thank you, honorable members. I don't know if my chairperson is available now.
Chair, I hope I'm not audible.
Yes, we can hear Chair. Chair, and we can see you.
Yeah, thanks so much, Chair. My apology again. Sometimes technology can never be our friend. I've had to scurry around and look for a different gadget to connect with. So some place that I'm able to engage with the committee. Chair, thanks so much, and thanks to the Deputy Minister and members of the committee. What I wanted to say in the beginning before the CEO spoke was to emphasize the point that she has indicated at the end of this presentation slide, which is the issue around stability. Part and parcel of why we are finding a lot of collaboration and from both stakeholders and people that we are mandated to deal with is precisely that the organization is stable. And for the organization to be stable means that the executive needs to function effectively, the board needs to be able to function effectively and efficiently, but beyond being efficiently, it means that it must correct for it to function efficiently and effectively. We currently, and the minister's office and the DG have confirmed that they are in the process of finalizing the broadcast representative and the print representative, because Mr. Munare does end his term on the 16th of September. If that position is not filled by that time, the board will be incorrect. And that will create a little bit of a problem from a perspective of the board being able to function. On the other hand, we do have three vacancies that the portfolio committee is busy processing, and we will appreciate if those three positions could be dealt with in a manner that will allow us to be able to function. There is as well a process which relates to Parliament in respect of relooking at the Act as it currently stands. It's 20 years. It's not geared for the role and the kind of media and digital space that we're now operating in. It's 20 years old, and therefore it's quite crucial that we relook that, and that is a process that will be led by Parliament on together with GCIS. Crucial in that we as well need to be able to realign the role of print and broadcast. As the CEO was presenting, you will have heard that a lot of money that we get is coming from broadcast and not so much from print, because the print side really is optional for them to be able to assist us, whereas in broadcast, it is mandatory. It is in the Act, and the two parties really don't act in the same manner. And we are finding a lot of support from broadcast. However, we are not finding the same kind of enthusiasm and support from print. And therefore, we would want to appeal from the side of the board that the alignment between broadcast and print is brought online. And in that way, we potentially will be able to fulfill the role that MDDA is supposed to fulfill. With that few words, Chair, we will take the questions at the time when you are ready to ask us questions. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Board Chair. Please unchair so that we're able to proceed. Thank you. Honorable members, I will now give an opportunity to yourselves to ask questions, make comments, and some recommendations based on the presentations. We'll then, after that, allow the Deputy Minister to direct on how they would want to approach the responses to such questions. So if I may just check, Ajira and Temingosi will also assist me with regard to the hands if they are not seen from my side. May I just Let's check, honorable members, those who want to speak.
No, Ms. Fagu Chair.
Yes, I see Honorable Fagu. Any other member?
For now, that seems to be the only hand that is up, Chair. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Fagu. You are recognized. Please proceed.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, Chair. Greetings to yourself and to honorable members, Deputy Minister, Minister, and everyone in the meeting. Chair, first, let me also send my heartfelt condolences to the Mackenzie family. I want to thank the family of Honorable Mackenzie for giving us such a remarkable leader. We have learned a lot from him as a committee, and we hope that as this committee, as we are given the responsibility by South Africans to do oversight, that will forever honor his memory by making sure that we play our role as members of parliament in doing proper oversight in all government departments and entities. He had a great passion for his work. We want to thank his wife and his children. Chair, you can hear my voice is like literally gone, but that's all I want to say, Chair. Basically, it's comments. It's to thank the ministry. Deputy Minister is here today representing the collective. Just to thank her and her collective for the great work they are doing, both from GCIS and MDDA. From the beginning, they have raised the bar high. Up to now, the bar is still high. I really want to thank them for the dedication that they have made thus far. But also, Chair, there are areas where they have not achieved their targets. We want to encourage them to achieve their targets. Especially, let me start with the last presentation. I hear that the board chair is saying that there are some board members whose time has lapsed. I think there's a process now that Parliament is undergoing to make sure that those positions are filled. We want to fast track that process as well as Parliament. But also, Chair, the issue of us not reaching the full potential in terms of other targets like your outreach, I understand it's COVID, but now this is the second year where we are on this process of COVID. At least we need to have innovative ways whereby we can do outreach. Even our own government no longer goes out to outreach, but they have means and ways on how to reach certain targets. We want to thank MDDA for the clean audit, but also on the grant, on the grant funding, which was also not reached. that also is it's a problem, Chair. We want to see 100%. We know that they are a capable team that can do the work. So those targets, of course, they've reached 95%. That 5% is a lot to a person who has applied, whose application was not processed because of COVID. I think as government, we need to run away from that to say that we have not reached targets because of certain issues. Sorry. But also, let's end the issue of from the GCIS of the 30-day payments or invoices not paid. Also, that is not acceptable, Chair. We must make sure that when we do things in a proper way. We understand that there was COVID and all of these things, but we can't be sitting in a committee and as members of parliament, we just allow them as we really serious steps to say that why has this payment not been done. But overall, Chair, I think what one must emphasize, especially with the new team that has come in, Minister Ngungu Bela, Deputy Minister Thembi Siwewe, and Deputy Minister Kekana, want to encourage them that during what has happened in KZN in the past month or so has made us as a country to be more on alert. What we are requesting from GCIS to make sure that government communication is really centralized in the presidency. so that whatever happened, the president must take a stand. Where the security cluster will speak in three or different languages, we don't want to see that. But we want to also thank the former acting deputy minister who was acting during this time, at least things got together. So we want information to be centralized. But you know, one thing that I've learned during COVID, Chair, is that when presidents speak, everyone gets excited. Maybe what needs to happen, Chair, in the future, that on all issues that our government has pronounced, maybe GCIS needs to have media briefings, because it seems people get excited what the president has said. When president has pronounced on issues, it is important that GCIS comes back, maybe after 3 months or a quarter, to say, we have achieved A, B, C, and D, so that people know what our government is doing. But otherwise, Chair, we're happy with the work that they are doing. We're also happy with women that are leading in the in both entities, DG Williams and the CEO of MDDA. We're indeed proud of the work that you are doing as you are leading both these departments. So, Chair, from my side, there's nothing much, but also on the Vukuzenzele, Chair. Now, me and Mr. McKenzie were the view that we no longer see a point of this newspaper, but I know that the CIS is very strong to say that this is still, I hope that we can come up with more innovative ideas than for Vukuzenzele. Even myself, I don't have access to it. I think I was still in school when I had access to Vukuzenzele. Maybe we need to come up with new ideas, new ways on how to send communication to our people, like with your COVID-19 pamphlets where people are receiving, like those snapshots that people say, this is what has happened and this is what has been done. But otherwise, thank you, colleagues, and for the good work that you are doing. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Faku. I now recognize Honorable Kubega. Thank you, Honorable Mbele. I have seen your comment that you are clear. Thank you. Honorable Kubega.
Thanks very much, Chair, and greetings to the Deputy Minister. And also let me say to the Minister, as he is new from the box, and also Deputy Minister Kekana, in their absentia also we are saying we are happy and also we are still well prepared just to come and work with them in this department. And they are very lucky to say they are having the teams actually on that side of GCIS and MDDA who are willing and prepared to deliver for these South Africans that we are having a leadership. So indeed, hence we were working with Deputy Minister Usiweya at all times, Chair. She's supporting the department. So we are appreciating on that side. And also let me send my condolences. Indeed, Sonke, we know Ubabu Mackenzie, that indeed whatever that he was doing with passion actually, and it doesn't matter, he wants to criticize, but what I like it was those positive criticism that will make that the department must just check themselves in order to correct whatever challenges. It was in a positive mood actually. And let me send again the condolences, because I've yet on the side of the MDDA on the leadership that has passed on, also we are saying condolences, and it's painful because now it's due to this COVID that we are talking about. And it's so painful because I can hear that it was only 6 months in that position. So, Siti Dunaguboge. Chairperson, you know, when you come to listen the presentation, especially on this department, the Department of GCIS and MDDA, sometimes you are being well motivated to say, indeed, even if there are some hiccups there and there, as they are raising, as you can see in the quarter three, the GCIS, they didn't manage to get that 100% on the issue of the paying of invoices. I hope, but if you can check the real reason also, it's a little bit beyond on their side to try to cover that percentage of 0.3, but we are still saying we are also aware that whatever in those targets that they never managed to achieve also, they've managed to have an action plan actually to say, due to these challenges, we are ready also prepared to correct, to have those corrective measures. I hope when we go to other quarters, indeed there will be an improvement into those targets that they have mentioned to say, we didn't manage to achieve in quarter three and also in those of quarter four. We are fully much aware, but I'm happy also on the issue of spending. Indeed, they are pushing in order that when they were raising their challenges, especially also on that 60 million, you can see that they've managed to work on that 60 million, even if not everything that they have been spent. But you can hear when they are raising the challenge to say why they didn't spend. But we, as a committee, we are encouraging to spend everything, because indeed we were supporting to say indeed the GCIS must be supported. They must also have enough budget in order to perform their duties. So we are saying we will never expect in the next other quarters just to see the underspending. Let them try to push harder on that side. But I'm appreciating also, because I can see on the issue under governance, especially on the issue of vacancies, they have managed to work to push according to the percentages that they are left, and they have tried also to balance in all races. You can just check to say now they want to cover in each, not leaving behind. It can be disability, it can be on the side of colored Indians. So also we are also appreciating to say the lesser percentage that is left, try to work harder to close in those percentages. And let me appreciate the MDDA. Indeed, we have raised to say it's normal, and also it will be a little bit tougher to go to work for clean audit. But once you have in that clean audit now, the issue which is key is to now maintain. Thanks very much. I'm happy, as I can hear, to say you are saying indeed, even in right now, we've tried to manage in order that we must maintain now this status quo of clean audit. We thank also on the side of the board, because the board, we have tried as a committee to work on that issue of closing on the issue of the board, and the board now, it shows that now is trying to push to support institution. We hope that indeed finally, even as they are already trying to sensitize us to say we must never mess up them, we must continue to close those posts that they are in September month, will be other vacancies need to be open. I hope as a committee we will try to close the, those gaps in order that the board must already continue as they are working, and not being frustrated with the issue of the quorum. So we will do also in that manner. But thank you, Sukiswa. Keep it just like that, just to push. And I appreciate, as you are saying, you wanted to have a sustainable model that will assist on that side of the MDDA. And indeed, that's what you are working for. So we are saying, as a committee, sometimes we are fighting and we become very harsh, but indeed we can see at this present moment, Ukuthi, no, MDDA and also on the side of the GCIS, we are closure. So we will wish on those sides to say, keep on doing just like that. But yeah, on the issue of Vuvuzenzele, you know, Comrade Princess, I will say, honorable, we still need to take care. There is these rural areas, and sometimes there are those who will be happy, and I'm happy about Vukuzenzele because also it was trying to accommodate with these different languages that we are having in order that the people must be at ease when they are supposed to read in whatever, and especially as we can see that the issue of COVID, it needs at all times just to be updated in order that we must know, are we going forward, are we winning, or what. So it becomes more important to accommodate everyone. So I would say thanks. We will continue watching, but also we will continue raising to say, where you will have some challenges indeed, let's try to resolve, as we are saying, Sibegile, those targets that you never managed to achieve. We will see, we are not expecting in the next quarters when we need to come and have this oversight, we will expect the very same challenges are still there. We need people who can assist in resolving in those challenges. So those words, I would like to say thanks, Chair, and thanks also to the Deputy Minister with that support and courage in her department. Thank you.
No, thank you, Honorable Kubega. As I give to the Deputy Minister to indicate how they are going to be approaching their responses, I think it's important to make this point, Deputy Minister, so that when you respond comprehensively. Just to emphasize the point that relates to payment of SMMEs or invoices within the 30 days, that indeed what is notable is that you have a situation where in the quarter three, it would probably be 0.3. Quarter four, you are now getting to 2%, which marks sort of regress. And I think from a point of looking at it on results and impact on the ground, we get to be worried that it may affect SMMEs, and that 2% can be quite critical for those that need to proceed to the next level of life, depending on payment of such invoices. So if you can take note of that, that we are raising this in order for you to still keep what you've been able to do, that of balancing the clean audits with delivery on the ground. And I think you, at GCIS in particular, have been able to do that. So we just need to make sure that there's no regression in that regard. I think Honorable Faku raised this point. But I think the other point really would be, if you, as you respond, come back to this point, that as we deal with quarter three and quarter four, we're already in the other financial year, and some of the corrective measures would have kicked in. One is also interested on the on this council that you couldn't launch because of the gaps in gender and geographic spread in the sector. I think for us, more importantly, is the importance of having that, because it's about transformation of the sector. So if we can also indicate whether we are making headways in that regard so that we can assure South Africans that that transformation that is expected in the sector is not delayed, given the time it has taken to get it back on track. So I just thought I should raise that on GCIS. But as it relates to MDDA, one appreciates, of course, that you are now going to keep the clean audit again, which is something we congratulated you on, because as the CEO would have presented, there was a time when anything to do with MDDA is more of problems. And that now we are getting back to normality. Whilst we have that and the interventions that you've made, especially on the centered part where community radio stations have been unable to pay, I think what for me is important is that if you have not met the target on the part of the sustainability model, the research aspect of it, the question therefore becomes whether the interventions that are being made at this point will be sustainable, because then you can end up putting money all the time and some of these stations may not be able to pick up from a point of self-sustainability. So if, as you respond, you can also speak to that, what mechanisms are you using in the intervening period whilst you are waiting for this research to confirm your sustainability model? What are you doing to deal with that? So that will be the point to raise Deputy Minister and the team. So as you respond, now hand over to yourselves.
Thank you, Chair. And thank you to colleagues for engaging with our report. I am making a lighter joke and I'm saying we've never necessarily had a problem with the committee. And in fact, you have been giving us ideas in relation to how we must work and improve. And that is why when we took over or we were assigned with the late minister and now the current minister, in relation to overseeing MDDA and GCIS, we have necessarily improved because of your ideas and what you have been able to talk to us. I agree with you. Actually, we agree with you that we need to sort out the 30-day payment process. With COVID, it's even worse because what it also means is that you are killing the historically disadvantaged businesses. And it's something that on a daily basis, I know the team, they thrive on wanting to ensure that they correct it. But what we must also, and I'm committing them because they're here, GCIS, is that there are vacancies which we need to fill. When you fill those vacancies, you are going to be able to have a employer-employee targets and be able to hold people accountable and so on. And it's something that we need to correct. We must start by correcting the vacancies that we have in GCIS so that we can be able to do contracts with them and then they improve. I've heard that. We're requesting yourselves, Chair, and the committee. The Chair of MDDA spoke about vacancies which are going to be effective, I hope it's the correct English wording. Or there are people who are in the board, their term is coming to an end. We are requesting that so that we can continue to come to this committee and give you the positive results. Assist us by starting a process of ensuring that we fill those vacancies of the board. So we're literally going to rely on you that part of us coming to report and so on, we don't want to come and say, no, there's this vacancies and. Later we do. Actually, we've never fought. From the start, everything that you have told us, we've listened and we've improved. Assist us. Let's work on a process of filling the ones that they have said. I think they said two or three. I'm not sure also, but assist us as a committee so that we start with advertisement. And let me talk about Vukuzenzele. The rest I'm going to leave to the team. What I will request is that GCIS, you respond first and then we finish. When you are done, you say you are done and then we allow MDDA to then speak. The board chair will speak and then the CEO will speak and that's it. And then GCIS, Mr. Karim will speak. But let's talk about Vukuzenzele. Both comments, starting with Honorable Fab, is about its effectiveness. Yeah, all right. Now, what we need to understand, and it's something that we continue to have a conversation with the Department of Communication, is that as much as we want to be innovative, we must also think about the access to ICT. Now, I want to defend Bukuzenze. She says, for example, and I'm not being personal towards her, she used to receive it in high school. She's no longer receiving it. But it's because in your life, you have grown. You get government information because now you are a member of parliament. You've got access to ICT yourself. But the reality is that there is an impact or effect which is happening with the newspaper. We still, what we do is that annually we review where do we place it and who is our target. Currently, you, where you are not our target. Because you, when you wake up in the morning, you've got your phone, you tap and then you look and then you're sorted. But the people that we are targeting currently is not necessarily where you are in your life and in a path of growth. And maybe one day you must call us just to specifically. And Mr. Karim, when you are going to be responding, please speak to this issue of Bukuzenzele that indeed we get, even myself on my personal phone, my WhatsApps every day when I wake up, I get a lot of messages. No, we received Bukuzenzele. And what we do with it is that the stories are not only covered by national. What we do is that provinces, through the Office of the Premier, they send information and then we decide where are we taking the newspaper. The reality is that we can be innovative, we can do online, we can do other things, but the hardcore print, we still have a constituency which we are serving and we continue to receive a feedback. And I'm going to ask you, Mr. Karim, to speak about it to more in detail and then also respond to the other issues which I feel that you need as a team, the ones which were raised by the chair, to speak in detail. Thank you.
Thank you, Deputy Minister. Thank you, Honourable Members, Chairperson. Look, I think the Deputy Minister, Chairperson, has very said it, hit on that we really appreciate the council, the wise council of this portfolio. And I must say, Honourable Chair, it's always, we look forward to this engagement with great pleasure. That's why I said to Pumla, we're so sorry not to be here, because it is a place where we always feel affirmed in terms of direction, the push that we need, the guidance we need, but also that motivational push. I also want to assure Honourable Maneli, what we do is ensure that we write back to the GISA staff all across the country what we experienced here today, so that your wisdom and your views get pushed through to all our employees. So we do an internal story whenever we come out of the portfolio committee as a way of motivating and affirming. So Deputy Minister, the way I said, it really is in that genre. And therefore, a lot of the observations from the honourable members are taken on board. I'm going to, in the end, ask Sobisa to deal with the just really to how we have ensured that as we move into the 21-2 year, we are dealing with the 30-day payment and ensuring that despite some of the, what are these things called, the business continuity program. I mean, so for example, one of our relief measures, Honourable Chair, was a partnership with CETA off-site. Because remember, some of those systems are not accessible on your laptop or whatever. They have to be part of a proper government closed system. Yeah? But even with those, we ended up with some of our offsite people having to be isolated and the staff themselves being isolated. So it turned out to be that our mitigation challenge plan itself ended up with challenge. So I'm going to ask Sobisa to just really give the committee our sense of how we are beefing this up. I will definitely speak to Volk in a minute, Honourable Deputy Minister. Chairperson, I think the issue of coherence in government communication, I can assure the Honourable Members that since the month of July, obviously we've given a lot of application of mind as to what can be done better. Our President did indicate that in many areas we responded late. However, from a communication point of view, we have, and I can assure Honourable Chair and the Members, Deputy Minister, that in the first meeting last Sunday that we had with the Honorable Minister Gungubela, our newly appointed minister. This issue was 45. So what we've done is we were sending daily talking points and messages from GCIS to all ministers of cabinet. We did encounter a few lags in terms of colleagues passing these on to ministers. So we're looking at how to strengthen that and make double sure that ministers are getting those. And a set of key messages, which are a little bit more elaborate than just daily talking points, have also been introduced into the cycle now at the request of the minister. Honorable Chair, I can also say with great honesty and sincerity to the committee, one of the top 10 issues that Minister Gungubela was appraised of last Sunday by the DG in their first meeting was the issue of the MAC Charter and the completion of the matter that Nomkosi raised about the, you know, getting the membership properly concluded. It's getting Minister Gungubela, we met him yesterday as the full GSAS manker, and he also, Deputy Minister, confirmed with GM Kikana yesterday that they're very much alive and it's among the top order of business to be concluded. So, Chair, I do hope that we are able to give you some better news by the time we see you next time. But please note, it was top of the order of items of discussion, and the Minister agreed that it will get very, very intimate attention from himself and the DG. Deputy Minister Sawaya has really hit the nail on the head, Honourable Chair, Honourable Members. And I do think, as Honourable Kubeka raised it, and also I think Honourable Faku did mention, we have done a lot of work to ensure that it's online, that the book is translated, that it is accessible to those, well, in the old language, Honourable Chair, the upper LFMs who've migrated to different forms of media patterns in their life journey can still get that thing and can still have that taste of like, wow, what's happening at community level? But I can tell Honourable Members with great, absolute guarantee, the distribution strategy of HOOK is very focused on rural areas, on peri-urban areas. Institutions such as Tusong Service Centres, youth centres, the ward committee structures around the country, those folks who aren't having the privilege of access to the other mediums of communication. I can assure Honourable Members that the feedback we get from the GSAS district and provincial offices remains, which some members may recall. When that truck stops in an area, within minutes, those copies are gone. Within minutes. We've even had incidents, and we have some photographic evidence, where the communities are really going for it. Obviously, with the COVID era, what we've had to do is make intermediary partnerships with agents. So, for example, somebody who runs a community mall or a shopping center, or, you know, a place where there's a village collective of shops, that person will receive it and then make sure that they distribute it so we don't have that mass handout that we used to have pre-COVID. But I can assure Honourable Members in the constituencies where we do count in terms of that methodology. Because remember, in this, you have the historical kind of trend where people will go through every single article and they'll actually tick it off as they read. You know, and say, right, I read that one, tick it, and I read it as a source of information. We have built in things like competition, phone in your number, letters to your editor, call centers you can call, which give us a taste as to whether people are using it or not. And I can assure Honourable Members that by and large, we are really, really seeing that people do enter those things, they do, which then gives us a sense, by the way, these audiences are responding to the newspaper correctly. So, and as the Deputy Minister said correctly, the Directorate of Distribution at BOOK, the team of two people, they specialize in the monthly mission. So if they get a call from one of the GSAS district officers and say, you know what, this month we needed extra supply, can you do it? Yes. And then finally, just to also confirm, Honourable Faku and Honourable Chair, the district offices have remained. Yes, we have loudhailers. Yes, we don't have that, you know, close contact like we used to have pre-COVID. But the district offices of GSAS and their partners, they do loud handling, they do street level activations, and we have some mobile vehicles we're working with mobile clinics. Those folks take the book with them in those settings when they go out in those very, very village level settings. So, for example, places like Amakosi, Royal Houses and that, those are very, very critical. In our distribution strategy. So yes, It's not a one-way street. Number one, we modify as per potential audiences. Two, we have a very strong focus on those South Africans who are called the rooted realists, still in the access, well, not deprived, but whose access to information is not as great as the rest of us. And finally, we do have built-in mechanisms to be quality assured to make sure that the book is still scratching where the demand of our publication, where our demand of our public information. So can I just ask, Sister Toby, can you really give us a sense of how we are making sure? Because I think, honorable members, we must be very frank. And I was very proud, honorable chair, just to share one issue you may have seen on the slide there. I had the privilege at the request of the acting minister at the time to be deployed or assigned to work from there early this year with Deputy President Mabuza on the matter of the military veterans task team that the president set up after the unhappiness of our veterans at the end of last year. And you know, honorable chair, even we're very alive to the sector of ensuring that our instrument, our budget, you see, we don't build houses or whatever, but our budget is properly attuned to the priorities of developmental government. So Mr., at the first meeting of that day, I asked other heads of communication from other departments, how much are you guys spending on companies that are owned by military veterans or women or youth, etc.? And I was very proud to say that in a very short time, this Mr. was able to show us, Chair, that we are doing work in supporting the companies of military veterans. So first and foremost, the principle is that we monitor this actively. We're very alive to your guidance to say that if you don't pay on time, it's the livelihood of somebody who's trying to hit onto their feet. So just probably in briefly, if you could just quickly give the committee a sense of how we are making sure that this doesn't become an entrenched problem. Probably, sir?
Okay. Thank you, Michael. Good morning again to the members. Currently, we have a business continuity plan whereby we have engaged with the CETA in terms of assisting us to provide off-site offices whereby when we have issues of closing the building, our employees can go and process the payments there. And we have also withdrawn the remote working for the supply chain officials, especially those who are dealing with the payments as well as also dealing with the tenders and the procurement. And this has also assisted us in ensuring that we are achieving our targets in terms of the 30-day payments. And also we are working with the IT, whereby we are looking in terms of having an invoice tracking that will assist us in ensuring that the invoices are paid on time. As most of the time, sometimes the problem is not within supply chain, but is with our clients whereby invoices are not approved on time. So the invoice tracking system, which is we are doing with the IT, will assist us in addressing those issues. And fourthly, we also have rearranged our supply chain management officials to ensure that if somebody is sick, at least there is a backup plan or there is a backup person to assist in that regard. So we have also rearranged our officials to make sure that the targets are met. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Deputy Minister Sawyer. That is it from GCIS. Ma'am?
Chair, from MDDS, let me just clarify the 2 points I had made regarding board vacancies. So the two vacancies in respect of the broadcast sector and print sector are in the Minister's office, and that I have been assured that process is underway and it will be concluded very soon. So I'm hopeful that we won't reach the 16th of September before we get a replacement of those two. The others are the ones that the portfolio committee is busy with. I am encouraged to note that that process has been underway and hopeful that we will be able to conclude that in time. Overall, Chair and honorable members, we are encouraged with your guidance and we take your counsel on the various matters that you have raised. Obviously, between the board and the executive, we will confer and ensure that as we come back to you, in the next round, the issues that you have raised that are of concern, where you think we could do better, we do better, and where we can surprise you by doing some things that you might have thought that we may not be able to achieve quicker, we surprise you. But overall, we are very appreciative of the cooperation we're getting from the various layers that are within the circle of our operation and that allows us to operate in the manner that we do. Thanks, Chair, and I'll ask the CEO to respond to matters that she has noted.
Thank you, Chairperson of the MDDA Board, but thank you also Deputy Minister Siweya, and thank you Chair of the Committee. I think to the Honourable Members and the Committee at large, I'm not going to repeat what the Chairperson says, but when I come to this committee, I feel like I'm a child who's willing to learn, who wants to learn, and therefore the counsel that we get from you, all of it, is not taken lightly because we improve in it. In fact, I think you are more sympathetic to us than the late minister was. We got so much lashing before coming to these meetings in preparation. You would say, Sisi, you think I can allow you to go to Parliament without me knowing what you are going to present? You know, we would not sleep. You would make us read two presentations. We enjoyed that. And that's what makes us grow in these positions. And that's what makes the organizations that we lead grow. So I think it's three areas that I'm going to talk to. And if I am running astray in Zoo, it will be you who comes in because they're largely in your area. The first one, I think, from Honorable, I don't know if it was Honorable Faku or Honorable Kubeka, I think, is on the geographical spread and the transformation. The MDDA stands for ensuring that there's plurality of voices. It stands for ensuring that the people receive information in the languages that they speak and that they understand, indigenous languages. So we are for that and we will die for that. That is what we are here for. We exist for that. And how do we do that? The MDDA Act says that in Section 14, the board must identify. So it does not say we must actually wait. It says the board must identify this project, so that we ensure that we are not actually supporting the same people. So that is the reason why when we make a call, which the committee knows is a new thing, the MDDA had a history of accepting applications 24/7, weekend, Saturday, 365 days a week. It did not work for us because when we got there and we found a backlog of 850 million, having spent about half a billion in 15 years, we knew we didn't stand a chance to go through that. And so we eliminated that and introduced a once in a year call. So that's what we are doing. And when we do that, and that's when Mzu comes in, once that call is made, Honorable Members, and that is one of the things that I think I feel so aggrieved by this pandemic, because it constrains us a bit. We actually get to the provinces to make sure that not only the people that are our beneficiaries know that we've issued a call for applications and that these are the requirements. Sitwalis Ganga, we go to all the provinces, we split ourselves. That's what we do. We get into the community radio stations through GCIS. Sometimes I speak to 95 community radio stations at once. We announce that. And that once we've received those applications, then the real work begins. The team, which is led by Mr. Mzuvukile Kashi, is then assist with ensuring that we actually really go to the provinces, not provinces, to the projects that really need the help. And how we identify that, you must meet the criteria through the application process first. And unfortunately, Honorable Members, let me make an example. With print and again support what the chairperson of the board has said, to say print, the print agreement seems to have been a gentleman's agreement, and therefore we do not have money coming from a commercial print. In fact, the not the act, but the regulation says we're supposed to give our money, part of our budget, 25% is supposed to go to print. At the moment, we sit less than 5% or less than 10%. We do not have money coming in for print, and yet it is so important for us. So what we do is we then go through this vigorous process. So you get 81 applications that are compliant from broadcast, for an example, 161 from print, and then your heart bleeds because you can only support six from print because you've got 3 million, and then you can only support maybe 20 to 25 at least in the broadcast because you've got some additional money that a multi-choice on an annually basis, they would say we'll give you 40 million, then give us 46 million. We'll give you 46 million and then they'll give us 52 million. It's those monies that we use. But it is also important that there's a question about Centec. When we get additional money, and also, honorable members, there's projects that you find that you cannot rescue. You have dispersed the first disbursement. They must comply with the report on how they've utilized the first tranche. And then in the second tranche, they fail, or in the second tranche, they fail. And then now we're going through a process. We're introducing a process to say we're going to have a recording, a list, if you like, of who's non-compliant, how long have they been non-compliant, because our aim is to say we want to disperse in the 12 months that is given in the contract. And we've been able to do that from last year, and I'm happy about that. So what we do with the additional money sometimes is we take that money and then we plow it into signal distribution. So what happens is those that then get approved in the normal grant would naturally be given or the money to settle their current Centec debts. Or if you've got your signal distribution, your own mask and your own mask, then we will assist you if it needs maintenance, because we're not encouraging everyone to go to Centec, and we're not married to everyone going to Centec because we've seen it's expensive. I'm not saying we are bankrupting Centec, but we are saying we will, through the sustainability model, weigh our options on which cheaper, cost-effective way we can utilize to ensure that these stations can still transmit, but in a cost-effective way. That is why we've submitted an application to the MICT CETA to train people, technicians in the community, so that when those people that self-transmit mushroom, we also then have some kind of skill, which in the beginning we will actually ask to assist us. So that's the plan with signal distribution. And so Zoo also says once you get approved and then you get your debt is settled, is scrapped, we pay for it, you're also given 12 months of your contribution to Centec for the next month. But we are aware that we've been biased to people that only distribute through Centec, transmit through Centec, and that we're beginning to now consider the people that are saying, but I own a transmitter and sometimes it's down. What can MDDA do? So now those people are getting on board. There's one last thing that I would like to say, honorable members, that in order for us to save the MDDA money, we've also employed a contractor over a 12 month contract. This person is mandated for going throughout the country in the 288 stations, if you like, and to say this station in Ugu FM, in Lambe, in Balta, in Forte, in Bupima Bupirima, in Nanda, when were they last installed or first installed, and what is the current condition with those studios? And they'll take pictures and they will write a report that says this is the condition of the Forte station. Why are we doing that? We're taking stock of where our money has been, honorable members, and we are saying we will also want to professionalize the sector by having a maintenance plan. So when this gentleman comes, he must say to us as the executive, these are the reports, and it's going to be a process of a year, I think. These are the reports, and this is where our infrastructure is, but this one is broken down. But this one just needs mics to be replaced. This one needs my mixers to be replaced. This one needs this to be replaced, so that we do not, and we've got a foresight. When Zukiswa applies and says, I need a studio, we've got a report that knows, because we've been there first, that knows that, in fact, this one does not need that whole studio. We can replace ABCD. In that way, we can use the money for something else. Thank you very much, Honorable Members.
The Minister, not sure if you would want to come in before I summarize.
Chair, let the team assist you. We can't hear you. Something like that, yes.
Is that so?
Let's see. You know what I suggest? Shut down your screen. And maybe if you speak, it will without the screen. Something like that.
We'll see if that improves.
It's still low. Host, please help us.
Honorable Deputy Minister, I think the problem from the experience earlier when he opened the meeting. Chair, we still trust. Hello, Chair.
It's trying to connect. It can't. COVID must end. Yeah.
And you must take into consideration he's already having a sweet voice, Chair. Now we are struggling to hear you.
Manali? Hello?
You've muted now, Chen?
He's gone.
He's gone. I just see the voice again. When do you check? Makubeka Chair, we don't know.
Deputy Minister, on a lighter note.
I hope you can hear now.
We can't.
I call.
Mara, we are patient. Fix your issues. With tempting goals, fix them together.
No, Honorable Deputy Minister, Chair, you're still quite soft. You're still struggling to hear you.
I'm a soft person myself. I'm not a
No, but I can hear you.
It's better now, Chair. It's better now.
Yes.
You have arrived. I can hear you, but...
You have arrived.
No, at least the voice is not looted yet.
It's fine.
Okay.
Yes, thanks.
Yeah, if I may just continue, I just wanted to check, Deputy Minister, if you have got any point to raise now before I do the summary to close your inputs.
No, I don't have. I don't have. You know what we want to appreciate? Remember, in our portfolio, we report to you. We also report to the public administration. So DPME and SSA, blah, blah, stuff, they are that side. What we want to appreciate is that ever since we started reporting to this committee, you have been able to guide us. There's no day where I wake up and I think, oh, yeah, I don't say you know. And everything that you have told us, we have been able to do. Our relation has been good. And I trust that it will be good.
Thank you.
That's why. If you look at the team, GCIS and MDDA,
we are talking about you advising us and us improving and correcting and coming to the committee to tell you that you said 1, 2, 3 was improved. That's it.
Thank you.
We're literally happy. Thanks.
Thank you. I take it that honorable members, we have come to the closure of the session, but as I close, I have also a few things to share with members. Immediately after, I would have released the GCIS team as led by the Deputy Minister today. But just to say that from the committee, Deputy Minister and the team, you can take this back, that there's much appreciation for the work done, especially in ensuring that there's both delivery and that there can be accountability in terms of the audit outcomes. We really appreciate that. And that you have assured us that there would be improvement on those areas that could have not been achieved. But I think in some areas, it is just the issue of information presentation, because in one side, you may have over performed yourselves in one quarter, which then affected the next quarter. And it appears as though it's non-delivered when in fact it has been done earlier than expected. I think those are things we'd be able to correct as they are important in the final judgment that gets to be seen also publicly as correct information. Of course, the issue that relates to the boards, we would indeed also appreciate that on the part of the executive, which is shorter than the processes of parliament, that they are able to fast track the appointment in the MTTA. And I can confirm indeed the board chair and the CEO of MTTA, that on the parliamentary process, Deputy Minister would have already advertised, we have set up the committees to deal with the appointment process. Of course, we've been affected in some of the subcommittees by the passing on of Honorable McKenzie, as well as the recess period. But those are matters that are being attended to. We had already had a scheduled meeting of the subcommittee on the appointment of the MTTA boards for Friday, but that date is now affected by a program of parliament where you have both houses looking at the Women's Charter and so on, as this is also a Women's Month. And this requires that all portfolio committee members attend to that program. And for that reason, would have shifted that and look at the Tuesday in the evening so that we are able to catch up with time lost in completing this process. As there are other boards now that report to the committee that also need similar attention. So that you can take back that the committee is back on track, would be in that meeting adopting a program, but also for whoever is the new member replacing the member would also be afforded the opportunity to receive the documents in terms of applicants and so on, which then helps us to prepare that the next meeting should be able to look at the shortlisting, and thereof the interviews will then follow shortly. So you can be guaranteed the committee takes this work quite seriously in that score. So with that, as I said, we always appreciate even ourselves at the committee. Like Honorable Kubeka would have said, you do know that when it's GCIS and MTTA also coming, they are one of those that in this portfolio we pride ourselves of, that there's always improvement. Of course, we may seem to be coming hard on you in keeping the standard, but just know that we always do it in the best interest of the country.
especially because they are also communicators of the country. And I take it that you've proven that during the start of the pandemic that you were able to coordinate the messaging in the country and that government had a single message to our people. We expect that at all times that that happens. It is in that regard that we get to be stronger on those points. And I'm happy that it's taken as constructive criticism to help the country move forward. With that, thanks, Deputy Minister and your team. I'm not asking you to stay. It's just a small announcement I'll deal with. And we can release you in that regard. It will just be 5 minutes for members, and then we can close formally our meeting. Thank you.
Chair, you are saying you are remaining.
Yes, there's one matter we are done with your presentation. Yes, now it's a committee that has announcement to finalize on our subcommittees. Thank you. So I don't want to keep you here because we have work to do. We will be asking you for progress report in the next meeting. So we release you to do work. Thank you.
Thank you. See you tomorrow. It's fine.
Okay.
Thank you.
God bless you. Just for purposes of formality, I think there's a point left with Honorable Mlala just posted that at least for formality, we should also accept his apology for not attending the meeting, that it is due to ill health. But I also want to remind members once again about what I have raised as the program for women, that we are expected as members to support that program. If you have not received the letter which was sent to the chair and asked to be shared to members, surely administration will just ensure that you have received the letter as we've just received it. We really ask you to do attend. And as I said in response to the board's appointment, the Friday that we spoke to yesterday would then not be applicable because it would appear that the program may be longer starting from 11 o'clock on Friday. So I'm just making members aware of that. There's also another letter would circulate to members. As you know, from time to time, the public also raise matters with the committee. I think there's one matter with regard to a query on Telkom, so that it seems there would not be an understanding that Telkom does not report directly to this committee as one of the entities of the department. So it's not one of those. And that matter would have been escalated some time back with the then acting DG Nkuna, I think before he left, and there was a response in that regard. So I'm just making you aware that we'll also share that letter and that there was action taken, also escalated to then Minister of the Portfolio, Honorable Ndabeni Abrahams was aware of that. And hence there was then a response sent to the complainant. But the matter is now raised as point for the CCC, which is ICASA. So I'm just making honorable members aware of those, but we'll share those letters with yourselves for response and advice. With that, honorable members, thank you very much. I think we did well also with regard to time, because we're meant to complete at 1 o'clock. I think we worked qualitatively because we were able to interrogate the reports, but still within time. Thanks for that.
So, Chair, are you saying now we are shifted to Tuesday or
maybe there is an invitation or something that will come, or we must just be aware that is going to be on Tuesday.
Yes, I'm making it now, Honorable Kubeka, so that because we announced Friday and
yes,
we said there will be invites yesterday.
Yes.
So with this change in the parliamentary program, we need to prioritize that program for women.
The program,
that's why it's then for Tuesday evening, and the support team would indeed write to us. In the main, is for us to also adopt the program. The draft program will be also circulated in that way, so that the meeting should be shorter. Yes.
Oh, covered.
Okay. No, thanks, Honorable Kubeka. Honorable members, this meeting is now officially adjourned. Thank you, and thank you, the support staff.
Thanks, Chair. Thanks very much.
Yes,
thanks,
so you can hear. I'm not,
morning, colleagues.
It's not really looted.
Yes, the voice. I thought that already is gone because it's so sweet and soft, Chair.
Thank you. All right, thanks. Thanks, Demikozi and Ajira and Mr.